produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Come on. Sing it. I heard the
voice.
That's Full Gospel Baptist Church.
Amen. John chapter 19, beginning at verse number 25, is what we will find our subject on this morning. Amen. John chapter 19, beginning at verse 25. Amen. John chapter 19, beginning at verse number 25. Amen. John chapter 19, beginning at verse 25. Amen. From the New International Version, it reads like this. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Amen. Thus ends the reading of the Word of God on this morning. Amen. And I want to lift up for a subject those first three words that are found in verse 25. Near the cross. That's what we're going to deal with on this morning, is near the cross. When we look at this Gospel of John, and when we look at this text, we see a unique setting, that at the cross of Jesus are women mentioned. There are soldiers who are mentioned. There are women who are there. And it's interesting that we talk about who's there, but we don't deal with who's not there. And what's so peculiar about these women who are there, unlike the disciples who have left Jesus, the disciples who have gotten fearful of what has transpired in the garden, the disciples who have denied him, a disciple who sold him out for the price of a common slave. Here in this text, my brothers and my sisters, we have here in this text here on today that these women are standing near the cross of Jesus, and it would seem like that they too should leave and abandon the master. But however, what this text teaches us about these women is that these women have come to the cross because they have a reason and a right to be there. They have a reason and a right to be there. What is the reason and the right, you may ask? I'm glad you asked. Is the reason they are there is because Jesus has always been there for them. Oh, let me say that one more time. Is that they are there for Jesus because he's always been there for them. How do you know that, Reverend? Go back to John chapter 2. You will read in John chapter 2 that Jesus' mother is throwing a wedding reception. She's throwing a wedding party in Cana of Galilee, probably for some relatives. And here it is, the wine runs out. Can I help somebody? The wine runs out. That's a social faux pas. That is something that you do not want to happen, that when you invite people to a wedding, you do not want the wine to run out, because these wedding feasts would last for days, and to be able to run out of wine in short to short time will bring social embarrassment to the couple, but also to the person who's running the wedding. And so what eventually happens is that Mary goes to her son and says, we've run out of wine. And so Jesus has to step in for her, even though begrudgingly he doesn't feel like it has anything to do with him. He still steps in to save the face of the wedding party and of his mother. So Jesus steps in for his mother. He's been there for his mother. Mary Magdalene, those of us who know the story, the Roman Catholic Church has painted her to be a prostitute, but in actuality, they're conflating and confusing two different passages of scripture. All we know is that she had seven devils in her. And if we know anything too about the women of Magdala, is that this Mary Magdalene was also believed to have an amount of wealth behind her. She comes from a city that has wealth and is known for being a place where women are able to make money. But even though she's got all the money, she's still full of the devil. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, can I pause right there to let somebody know, is to let you know that even though you got money, it does not mean that you can escape the devil. Even though you got status, it does not mean that you can run from the devil. Even though you were born with a silver spoon up your mouth, went to the best schools, had the best education, lived in the best neighborhoods, it will not stop Satan from trying to tear you down. There's no amount of money, there's no amount of pride, there's no amount of status that can stop the devil if he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But there ought to be some people out there who can rejoice, just like Mary Magdalene did, to be able to say that even though I had all of the money, I had the status, I had the business, even though I had all of that, none of that meant anything, because I was still dealing with demons. I was still dealing with trauma. I was still dealing with pain. But lo and behold, God stopped by and freed me from all of those things. Is there anybody who's watching who can rejoice and to thank God that even though you may not have all the money that you used to have, you may not have all of the status, you may not have everything that you used to have, but you can thank God that you've got peace, you've got joy, and you have love on your side. And there's nothing that no amount of money can buy when it comes to peace of mind. There's no amount of money when you can put on joy. There's no amount of money that you can put on being able to come to your home and not have to worry about who's going to snake you if you go outside. There's no amount of money, there's no amount of status that you can have to be able to walk down the street without looking behind your back. And I'm here today to let somebody know that Jesus can do it for you on today. And so here it is. He does it. He's been there for these women. And so they honor him. They say, Lord, it's only right that we be here for you, because you have been there for us. So I'm here to let somebody know the times will get tough. The times will get rough. But don't you leave God. Don't you leave God when times get hard. Here it is. Bible tells us these women are standing near the cross of Jesus. And beautiful thing too is that they understand, watch this in the text, that even though Jesus may not have everybody, he still got us. Oh, can I help somebody in here today? Can I help somebody who's watching? Is that the thing is, they say, Lord, even though you can't count on other people, you can count on us. Lord, even though you can't count on those nappy-headed disciples, you can count on us. And the thing is, what makes it so amazing, Mother's Board Day, watch this, is that they are women, which means they are second-class citizens. There's portions of the temple that they cannot go. They have to sit behind the men in worship service. Don't miss this. Women cannot be called to testify. Women are treated as property. And here it is. They say, even though we are beaten down, even though we are talked about, even though we are looked down upon, even though we don't look like what we should, even though people have discredited us, even though life and society will tell us we don't matter, guess what, God? You can still count on me. Why can you count on me? It's because, God, you've been there for me. You've seen me through danger, seen and unseen. You've seen me over problems. And so the question I raise to you is, can God count on you? Can God depend on you? Can God be able to reach out to you? Can God know that he can count on you? We used to sing the song, Count On Me. And so I'm just asking the question, can God count on you? Can God depend on you? Can God look to you even though you've been through hell and high water, even though you've been through trials and tribulations? Can God count on you? And so, my brothers and my sisters, I love it that in the Bible, what we learn is that the gospel is written by men, right? But isn't it amazing that the gospels are all written by men, but none of the men, except maybe one, are there to tell the story? Okay, let me say that again. Okay. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are all gospels that are written, correct? And they all tell the same story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay, don't miss this. I want y'all to follow me. Even though these gospels tell the story of Jesus of Nazareth, three out of the four aren't even there to witness what has transpired. Three out of the four have served Jesus and have been close to Jesus and have firsthand experience with Jesus, or they got it from somebody else who was right there with Jesus, but yet they were not right there at the crucifixion scene. Okay, don't miss this. I want y'all to understand something, is that my brothers and my sisters, the women are the ones who are at the cross, but yet the men are the one who get credited for telling the story. When in actuality, watch this, is that what actually happens and what probably has happened is that the women have to tell the men what has happened because the men couldn't endure the ugly side with Jesus. Let me say that one more time, is that the women have to endure the ugly side and then have to tell the men the story of what has transpired. Let me say that one more time. I'm going to slow it down and I'm going to make sure y'all get it. The men who write the gospel, only one is believed to have been at the crucifixion. If you believe that this beloved disciple is John, but yet, it's the women who are there are witnesses of the ugly side of the story. You see, my brothers and my sisters, the men come in at the end of the story. When the tomb is raised, when the tomb is empty and Jesus shows himself to them. But the women have gone through the ugly side. They've seen the darkness. They've seen the beatings. I pray y'all follow me where I'm going with this. The women have seen the tough times. They've seen them fall down. They've seen them be scourged. They've seen him be spit upon. They've seen him go through hell. They've seen him be disgraced. They've seen him punched in the face. They've seen him put the cross on his back. They've seen him fall over and over again. again. Where are you going with this? Is that two things? One thing is that it speaks to the tenacity of women and the stuff that women have to encounter. It's Mother's Board Day. And there are some mothers who are watching right now who are on our Mother's Board. You've seen some difficult times when being with God. You've experienced beatings. You've experienced pain. You've experienced the loss of your own children. Some of you have had to bury everybody in your family. But the good thing is that even though you spend ugly times, you're alive to tell somebody that you can survive, that you can make it, that God will bring you through. And the thing is, you can tell them that Friday don't last always. Matter of fact, Timothy Wright said it like this: I'm so glad that trouble don't last always. And there ought to be some people who are watching me now that can testify and said, I've seen some dark times. I've seen some beatings. Matter of fact, the song says this: I've seen the lightning flash. I've heard the thunder roll. But lo and behold, I've heard sin breakers trying to conquer my soul. But then I heard the voice of the Lord saying to still fight on. And that's my word for you on today, is that you can say, I have survived. I have made it. And no matter if I've seen death days, bad days, thank God that my good days outweigh my bad days. And you can sing the song too: I won't complain. Here we go. I'm almost through. I'm almost done. I'm almost done. I promise you. Y'all bear with me. I'm almost done. Because it's getting humid out here. So, it's amazing. Watch this, y'all. That Mary is named as being the wife of Clopas. But Clopas, no one knows anything about him. However, he becomes known now because of who his wife is. But yet, they mention the husband because the husband is needed to be associated with the wife, so that it would give her relevance and it would give her credence. But in actuality, she now has made him famous, because when you try and figure out who Mary, the wife of Clopas, is, you first got to figure out, well, who is Clopas? Oh, can I help somebody real quick? Is it my brothers and my sisters? Is it, I'm trying to let you know that a whole lot of us, a whole lot of us have been blessed, not because we were near the cross, but because we were associated with somebody who went to the cross on our behalf, or who went to the cross for us, or who stood in the gap for us. A whole lot of us, as we always say, are making it off of being blessed by being associated with somebody else. I just preached that about a month ago, that we are blessed by our association. We are blessed by who we are connected to. And my brothers and my sisters, I'm trying to let somebody know, is that nobody knew who Clopas was until he know him by his wife. But yet his wife is there, but the text does not tell us that he is there. So she is there as a representative of herself, but she's also there as his wife. So we don't know him, but we know her. And because we know her, now we know him. And so my brothers and my sisters, it's a whole lot of people out here who are making it because you are associated by somebody else. I'd be stupid to say that the doors that I have, that have been opened for me, have not necessarily been opened for me just because of who I am, but because of my last name, because I'm a Ewing, because I'm associated with the Collins family. And so a lot of doors that have opened for me are because somebody else decided to walk in, and somebody else has already laid the foundation. Somebody else has already laid the groundwork. And you all today ought to be grateful to God that somebody else has already laid the foundation for you and made it easier for you and have made it better for you. A whole lot of you all are making it because somebody else already went through the door and they left the door open for you. And I don't know who I'm talking to in here on this morning.
morning, but I want somebody to understand and somebody to hear me good that God does the same thing for us, that there's going to be some doors, there's going to be some opportunities that are going to open up for you that have nothing to do with you, but have everything to do with the God that you serve, that have everything, the God that you're associating with, and you ought to be grateful on today. Don't look upon it upon shame, but thank God that God has already laid some ground where God has already opened some doors, and all you got to do is walk on in. So we don't know Clopas, but we know Clopas because of Mary. And I'm almost done. Here we go. So what we know in the text, the Bible says, not only are the disciples not there, but watch this. Jesus has family there. And his family is there. And his family is not present. And you know his family's not present because Jesus, as the oldest son, has the responsibility of taking care of his mother. And it's his job to entrust his mother with somebody else to take care of her. Notice that he does not give his mother to another brother or to a sister. And we know Jesus has family. Go back to John chapter 6 and John chapter 7. You will find that Jesus' brothers and sisters are trying to get him to go up to Jerusalem to reveal himself, to be able to go and show himself. And so they want him to go and show who he is. And they want people to know that this is my brother, that this is my brother. He's the Messiah. He's got special gifts and talents. But isn't it amazing that when times got tough, family wasn't there? Let me say that one more time. They want to be there when you're up. But oh, let you get down. It's a sad thing that family can't even be there when you're at your worst. Especially when you have not done anything to make them not want to be around you at your worst. It's a sad situation that Jesus couldn't give his mother to his own brothers and sisters. It's a sad situation that Jesus couldn't turn his family and look to his family to come on and help him and deal with the situation. It's a sad situation, my brothers and sisters, that he does not have family there, because it's a woe unto us and careful for us that we do not, my brothers and sisters, give up so easily. So many times we want to give up. So many times we give up on people and don't even realize that sometimes a temporary setback is a setup for a comeback. And my brothers and my sisters, his brothers and sisters were there when he was getting his name. His brothers and sisters wanted to be there when he was having all those miracles. But as soon as he gets crucified and he's tried and crucified, they're nowhere to be seen, because I don't want to be associated with that. I don't want to be around that. He's dead. He's gone. But don't count me out just yet. That's one of my favorite Marvin Sapp songs, Don't Count Me Out. And that's what I tell you. So you got to tell your family, don't count me out. That don't look at where I am right now, is that it's just setting me up for where I'm going. And the thing is, I tell y'all all the time, you can't come by Calvary unless you first go by the tomb. You got to go to the empty tomb first, because when you go to the tomb, you come back to Calvary and say glory to his name. Hallelujah. And that's what the thing is. I want somebody to know is, don't count me out. My Sunday is coming. So here it is. I'm almost done. I only got a few more things. Jesus gives his mother to be taken care of by this disciple. But at the same time, he does something that we miss. We miss this. I hear the missing of it all the time whenever we're reading these texts, whenever I hear them on Good Friday, right? This is a Good Friday text, right? This is a Good Friday text, right? But we miss this. Watch this. I know Uncle Tim, you watching this, you're going to like this, right? We don't ever think that, yeah, Jesus gave his mother to the disciple for her to be taken care of. But we never think that maybe Jesus knew that the disciple needed a mama too. Let me say that one more time. We always look at it from the perspective of Jesus giving his mother to the disciple so that she can be taken care of, but we never think about it from a reciprocal standpoint that Jesus also knew that this disciple needed somebody to love on him, that this disciple needed somebody to be a mother figure for him, that this disciple needed somebody to love on him, that this disciple needed somebody to help take care of him, that this disciple needed somebody to watch out for him. And that's the beautiful thing too, is that when God brings us and we come to the cross of Jesus, don't think that we all are coming to the cross alone, but instead we all come to the cross of Jesus needing something from the Master. But the beautiful thing I love about God is that many times is that when you come to the cross, you're not at the cross alone, and you don't even realize that God has brought the help you needed right there at the cross, right there next to you. And oh, I don't know who I'm talking to out there today to let somebody know that you don't even realize that your help could be right there next to you, kneeling down. Your help right there could be the one who needs something from the Lord. And the Lord has worked it out that you two who need something from each other now can leave the cross having what you need, because God has brought you all together. And I don't know who I'm talking to in here. I'm not just talking about a relationship. I'm talking about a friendship. I'm talking about a fictive kinship. I'm talking about being able to have somebody who's your adopted grandmama, your adopted mama, your adopted aunt. Y'all act like y'all ain't black folks. Y'all don't have all these folks that you call auntie, uncle, mama, and daddy, and all these names. That's because God has brought you two together, because he knows that you can get something from him and she can get something from you. And so now you come to the cross, but you leave the cross together. You leave the cross getting your needs fulfilled, getting your desires fulfilled. And there ought to be some people out there today who ought to be glad to know that you don't have to leave the cross empty-handed. You don't have to leave the cross sad, but you can leave the cross of Jesus knowing that you have everything you need. That some of you saying, I came for power, you can get it at the cross. You came for love, you can get it at the cross. Last thing, and I'm done. This disciple, the Bible says, he took her into his home the same day. And what always strikes me is that he took her into his home, and she was another mouth to be fed. She was another body that he had to take care of. He didn't think twice about receiving her. He didn't think twice about having her into the house. He does not think three times. He doesn't ask, Lord, can I get some on the groceries? He doesn't ask, Lord, I need to get a bigger house. He doesn't say, Lord, I need you to make a way. He doesn't say, Lord, you gonna give me a food stamp card? He does not say, Lord, who gonna pay for all this? He doesn't say, Lord, who gonna cover the light bill? He doesn't say, Lord, who gonna do it? But instead, he takes her into his house the self same hour. And my brothers and my sisters, the reason why he took her is because he know who sent her. And so he knew that if he sent her to him, he was going to give him what he needed to take care of her. And oh, my brothers and my sisters, that's good news for somebody here today, to know that when God gives you something, that God has outlined something for you, or God has put something on you, he will make sure you have what you need in order to take care of what you have been given. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, let me say that again, is that God will give you what you need in order to to take care of what he has given you. How many mamas out there do I have to be able to say that I was able to raise 5 or 6, 10, 12 kids? I didn't have much, but God let me raise them, and they grew up to be healthy, happy, productive citizens. That's because God gave you what you needed in order to do and take care of what he gave you. And watch this, my brothers and my sisters. I'm going to tell you this story, and then I'm going home. Is that I was sitting there. I remember when I was learning how to write letters, right? And I was writing letters, and I was doing such a good job with writing letters, right? I was writing letters, and I loved the process. And so here it is. Watch this. Is that I would make sure I would write these letters, and I'm ready to go mail them, right? I used to have a steno pad for practicing letter writing. And so I would write these letters, and so I finally was ready to send my first letter to someone. And lo and behold, I was ready to send the letter. And I go to the post office, right? You go down to the post office, and so you're a child. You go down to the post office. You're there with your parents. They let you mail the letter. And so you go to the front counter, you're practicing, you're learning how to be an adult, right? And so lo and behold, I'm ready to mail this letter, right? But lo and behold, the clerk tells me, okay, sir, here's, you have the address correct, you have your stamp good, okay, would you like to get a return address? I'm like, return address? What's that? That literally means is that just in case it doesn't go to the right person, it can come back to the sender. Y'all missed it. Let me come on and tell you this. Is that, watch this, is that God gave, Jesus gave the disciple, and he gave the mama to the disciple. But the disciple doesn't have to be discouraged, because he can easily take her back to where she came from. He can easily return her back to the sender. And I don't know who I'm talking to in here today. Is that I'm here today to let you know is that when you get problems, when you have something that's too hard for you, when you have something that's too much for you, is that I'm here today to let you know is that you got to return that thing back to the sender. You got to return it back to whom it comes from. We know that God creates everything under the sun, and so sometimes you got to send that niece, that nephew, that son, that brother, that job, that situation, you got to send it back to God and say, God, you gave it to me, but God, now I need you to turn that thing around. God, I need you to make sure that thing can work out. And how many folk do I have in here today who can thank God that you can return it back to the sender? And the beautiful thing is that God is not too mean, God is not too bad, but God can work that thing out. God can turn that situation around. God can turn that person around. And all you got to do is that you just got to draw near to the cross. Come to the cross knowing that he can work it out, knowing that he can fix it. Do I have any witnesses in the building today who can say that God will fix it? Who can say that God has fixed it? Who can say that God will fix it? And the thing is that you just got to come near. You just got to draw near to him, and he'll come near to you. Do I have any witnesses who can thank God on this morning that even though I've gone through some difficult circumstances, even though I've gone through some tough situations, I thank God on this morning that God has worked it out on for me, that God has worked it out for my good, that God has turned that thing around, that God has made a way out of no way. Is there anybody who's watching me on this morning that can give God some praise? That can give God some praise in advance for some stuff that you've taken to the cross, that you're at the cross right now. But the beautiful thing about the cross is that it lets me know that whatever he set forth, it will come to pass. Because he died, but early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. The cross was meant to be a sign of victory. And so if you're at the cross, I've come today to let you know that you already won, because he already has fixed it. He's fixed it for somebody. He's fixed it for you. And you ought to rejoice saying that God has already made me the victor. I'm no longer the victim, but I can come to the cross with a shout to be able to say that if I take it to Jesus, he'll turn it around. Won't he do it, y'all? Won't he do it? I said, won't he do it?
produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.